Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063 of the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. I teased some news that might be of interest to Predators fans. And on Monday, October 21st, Bally Sports will officially become FanDuel Sports Network. So if you are looking for the game and you're thinking to yourself, where's Bally? I can't find Bally. Well, on Monday, Bally won't exist anymore. It'll be the FanDuel Sports Network. The broadcasters you know and love, including this guy over here to my right, Willie Donick, as well as Chris Mason and Lindsey Rowley and Kara Hammer, they'll all still be part of the broadcast. It's just going to look a little bit different. Willie, from what you know or what you can share, will the presentation of FanDuel Sports Network look any different than Bally Sports?
Well, it's obviously going to be a big rebrand, but yes. I think the important thing to know as just a person who wants to watch the games, which when you get down to it is the most essential thing, right? Where do I get the game? It's a new logo, and it's a new name, it's a new look, but the games are going to be viewed in the same place that you're currently watching the game. I think that's the biggest thing, and probably the first question everybody's going to ask is, wait, is it still on the same channel I've been watching on, or can I still get it? Yes, it's the same place you've been watching. And we're just absorbing this ourselves as a broadcast team. It's going to be official on Monday. So tomorrow's broadcast may not be a whole lot different, but as we learn over the weekend, we'll be making the adjustments essentially during that time. So Tuesday against the Bruins would be the first broadcast after it becomes official on Monday. But I don't have all the answers right now, but the basic thing is, if you've been watching on a certain channel, wherever you get it, same channel.
Yeah, because
same channel, same app, same streaming, all of that stuff.
Yeah, none of that. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Exactly. Okay.
Six,
yeah, it all comes back to
646 6. It's like 646-6 on my television.
On the DirecTV.
Yeah,
that's
on DirecTV.
Have, right?
Yeah.
I am the same.
Someone is asking if they will need to change their subscription for streaming.
That, I believe, will be very easy to do, but yes, I think. But that's one where that's getting into some levels that's above my
thing. Yeah, because it,
thing. I don't know.
It would be on different streaming platforms, right? Because I think I saw one this morning. Was it this morning or yesterday? And it said they were talking about the streaming platform Fubo, I think. And they mentioned having hockey games, and I think they did mention like Predator games on that, but then they said your other platforms as well.
And so I would say sit tight on some of that. There will be a lot of information. This is brand new information. And it's been building, obviously, for a long time. If people have followed the story, I won't bore you with the details, but this has been an evolving process. But look for a lot of information to be put out by this with questions like that in the next day or two, because I know exactly what everybody's saying. Where do I get the game? Just tell me that and we're good, right?
That's all we want to
know.
That's
what they want to know.
So we will all pour one out for Bally Sports tomorrow when the Nashville Predators take on the Detroit Red Wings. The Bally Sports era has come to a close. It'll be FanDuel Sports Network starting on Monday, but the first Predators broadcast will be Tuesday against the Boston Bruins. So
officially,
Willie,
yeah.
Practice FanDuel. FanDuel. FanDuel.
Yeah, there's a I do have to practice
that. FanDuel.
Yeah.
FanDuel. Like, get up, FanDuel.
I always thought Bally was a strange name for it because I associate Bally with like the gym that was by my house when I grew up.
Yeah, that was old school.
Yeah,
old school.
I lived in Orlando and there was a lot of Bally gyms there. So
they were everywhere.
Yeah, they
Bally
were.
Bally gyms were everywhere.
It might as well have been Planet Fitness Sports Network as far as I know, but FanDuel Sports Network will premiere Monday. The first Predators broadcast under FanDuel Sports Network will be on Tuesday. And as Willie said, there will be plenty of information coming out in terms of how this could affect
and
your
I believe
viewing experience.
In the meantime, with the app, I think the app will stay where you've been getting it for a little bit, but look for more information on that in the coming days. But I think for tomorrow, for example, you'll still be able to watch it on the same app that you got.
So when you go out tonight, pour glass for Bally Sports. We hardly knew ye. Thank you, Bally Sports.
My boy, Bally!
So, Willie, you were not here during our Predators discussion. I
did not intentionally duck that discussion.
No, I know. I know you didn't.
But you would never duck it, Willie.
But it did allow me to say some things without you having to counter them with more.
Because I sure enough wasn't going to do it. I was going to sit and let him stew in it. And
so after losing to the Western Conference champions, you feel differently today than you did yesterday?
It isn't about losing to the Oilers specifically.
See, this is what you didn't have to deal with that right there for.
No, I just asked questions. Okay. No. I'm just asking questions.
No. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that they lost to the Oilers specifically. It's just that coming into this season, we knew, and we have discussed this, we knew that the Predators would have some adjustments to make. But when a team spends as much money as it does in free agency, and there are a lot of flattering preseason predictions about this team challenging for a division title, I remember I went to NHL.com before the season, and they have all of their reporters and columnists. They have them pick the playoffs, pick everything like that. Someone picked the Predators to win the Stanley Cup. So I just think that while there are certain things about this team that you can point to and say it'll get better, to, you know, one thing that we discussed yesterday with Elliot Freeman, the Predators now have the worst 5-on-5 shooting percentage in the NHL. I believe it's 4.6,
yeah,
and the league average is 9.1.
Yeah, to me that's good. That's a good indicator that it will get better.
I think the issue is with Predators fans right now is it's hard for those certain points to get through when the team has yet to earn a standings point after four games, which is the first time the Predators have ever done that. So I sense some frustration among Predators fans about last season. There were low expectations. In those same preseason predictions a year ago, there were a lot of people who picked the Predators to miss the playoffs. Barry Trotz set modest expectations. We could be sneaky good. We might not be so good. And what they ended up doing was surprising to a lot of people, including myself. But when you do what you did this offseason, it suggests you're ready to take that step forward. And so far, they have face-planted out of the gate, which has left a lot of Predators fans wondering what's going on.
Naturally. I think that's how every fan should feel. I will remind you that my Mets were 0-5. 0-5 to OMG was the big battle cry when they made it to the playoffs. But they are clearly going through some adjustments and some adversity, and it's frustrating. I would still say stay the course. There's a lot of things to like. The 5-on-5 shooting percentage is a really interesting one because I think, number one, if your shooting percentage is that low, you've been a little unlucky, and you're going to start to get some bounces. And also at the same time, you can't sit back and say everything's great. You have to continue to strive to get better. I still think you see from last night that I can see why they continue to tinker with the lines, because it just hasn't gotten into place yet. But they played a really good team from last year. And the baffling thing about last night, in my mind, was if you told me that Connor McDavid's line would get one goal, I'd say, hey, man, I'll take that every time. How many times have we joked over the last couple of years, oh, man, you know, I hope they don't get six goals, you know, because they've had games like that where they've just absolutely dominated the game. They did a great job on McDavid, considering what McDavid and Draisaitl have done to them and done to the league. You take that every time. Where they didn't get it done last night, in my assessment of the game, is The weakness of the Oilers is their supporting cast, the other guys. They have a top-heavy roster, and that's where the depth of the Predators, I think, fell short.
Particularly on their second and third defensive pairings, behind Ekholm and Bouchard. Those defensive pairings on the Oilers are
right, and not only, yeah,
a little iffy.
On paper, that's what everybody's questioning, whether the Oilers can win it all with that group. And not only did they get by last night, but one of those defensemen scored two goals. He'd never done it in his career. One of them was an empty netter. And one was just a shot that made it through about six bodies. It was a broken play. Mm-hmm. The Predators couldn't quite – they had a clearing attempt that hit a player and went out to the defenseman, who's not known for being a scorer, Brett Kulak, and he buried one. So it was a little bit of a weird game. I think they started to show better defensive structure, I think, to hold McDavid to one goal. But they had to defend too much. They did not give up the odd man rushes that they've been giving up. But they also didn't generate as much offense, which mm-hmm. you need to do against the Oilers. And so I saw some steps forward, but this is all part of the big picture process. Now, they're going to, when you dig a hole like this, you're going to have some hot streaks like they had last year. I think they're very capable of doing that. But, you know, you have to make up this ground somewhere. I think they have the firepower to do that. So I'm certainly not going to panic. But at the same time, 0-4 is 0-4. I think that's what has to resonate in that locker room and kick it up another notch tomorrow and find a way to break through.
Are they – and I get it, you know, five games in a 82-game season doesn't seem like much, and I get it. But, you know, it can snowball. And that's what you don't want it to do. Yeah, we can sit here and say it's only five games. Look at what they did last year. They were able to start this way and then end up in the playoffs where many didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. I understand all that, and it happens in sports. But it doesn't change the fact that this team isn't doing enough to put themselves in positions to win games. It's evident by their record. I'm just going by what their record says. And you know, and Adam and I talked about this early on because he played the Marcia Salt comments.
He said after the game, that the team was quote unquote fragile.
Yeah, right, and now. I said I probably would have used a different word, but he's right. I mean, because you come in, and players can say, you know, we don't pay attention to it, and as we know, Willie, Adam, they pay attention to it. They listen to all that stuff. We all do. But when you have these expectations of, all right, the Predators got the money because for years they said they didn't have the money because, you know, the hockey salary cap is hard. And you can't try to invent money when there's no money there. But this was the year that they had the money that they can go out and get the goal scorers and the pieces that they needed to get them to where they ultimately want to be. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, I think they do have them. But when this is sort of built up in the offseason, and then you're hearing it and you're listening to it, and you're feeling good about yourself as well, and you're feeling good about the moves that have been made, then you get in the season and it's nothing like you thought it was going to be, there has to be a reflection time for this team, and it needs to happen now. It doesn't need to happen 10 games from now. It doesn't need to happen in the middle of the season. It needs to happen now because why? You have the firepower. You have the guys that can turn it around for you. So all 20-something of y'all need to look in the mirror, like I said, need to look in the mirror that goes along with the GM, head coach, and everybody. All right, what team? Who do we want to be? I know who they said we were before the season started. I get it. But who are we now and who do we want to be moving forward? That's the question that we got to ask and answer very quickly.
I think that's a great point. I do think that discussion is probably going on in some form internally. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem with what Marchessault said. That guy is a competitor. He is a winner. He is one in other places. He's trying to bring that to the table here. He cares. I'll tell you what, he's not the nicest guy to be around every day because that guy is focused on one thing, and that is, you know, competing and getting it done. I love how he plays. I love what he's about. He scored a big goal last night. I think the most frustrating point in the game, and it's the second straight game that's happened, they battle hard to get back and tie the game, and then to his credit, this is the best player in the world. Connor McDavid takes over the next shift. It gets them the lead back. That's what great players do. They did a tremendous job on McDavid, but he still made the one play that was probably the biggest play. He kind of pulled the rug out from under the crowd and the team after they had worked so hard to tie it up. But I see, look, let's use the Kings last year in the middle of the season. The Oilers last year at the beginning of the season. There are really good teams, and we could go through the Predators season last year. Same thing. You're going to, over 82 games, go through a struggle where it forces you to rework, reshape, remold what you're about, harden you up. The good teams come out of it better, and they become a better group. They pull together. The teams that aren't good unravel when they have this kind of stuff happen. The X factor is the injuries, and that's what we don't know is gonna happen here. But I think this is where the team early on, with a bunch of new guys, exactly what you're saying. Everybody said we were this. Well, they're finding out that it's not that easy. You can't just show up. They're not going to be able to just show up and out-talent people. They have to come together and be more connected. I actually saw some signs that was happening last night. They didn't get some results. Even though statistically, I can't sit here like I did in the first two games and say they outchanced, they outshot, all of that stuff. They had to defend a lot. But I liked how they battled. They did a lot of good things. Right now, the snake bit group is the lower part of the lineup. You mentioned the defense pairs, but it's also the fourth line, the variations of the fourth line. They're way minus, right? As far as the results, they're snake bit. They got to be going, what the heck? I'm working my butt off here, and I'm -2, -3 at the end of the game. That's tough, right? Because that group has a lot of responsibility of grinding, setting the tone, the identity. How often we were trying to get a nickname for those guys last year because they were doing such a great job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening right now. But it's four games, right? But they're going to work hard. Hopefully what doesn't break you makes you stronger as a group. And that's what they have to hang their hat on here. And Andrew Burnett said this. This is what I'll end on. Last year, they had an identity. Relentless, right? This year, I think he's kind of come to grips with some different guys, more skill. We have to make a new identity. I can't just hang my hat on what happened last year. This group itself has to earn their own stripes. And I think that's what to look for in the coming days. And hopefully when they meet internally, that's the process that's going on.
The one other thing that I mentioned to Derek that I think needs to change, and I'm not sure how it's going to change, it's probably going to change by what you were talking about, Willie, is that this team has struggled to win at home, including the postseason, the three games against the Canucks. They've now lost six consecutive home games. It just feels like, and we talked about this yesterday with the way that their schedule is set up, the vibe, the energy in the building has seemed to wane, and I think it's because recently, more often than not, it appears that the Predators lose at home, and nobody wants to see that. I mean, that's something that will go hand in hand with what you're talking about, but that home ice advantage that we knew, especially during the 2016-2017 run to the Stanley Cup final and beyond, that home ice advantage was a huge part of it, and it just has evaporated, and I can't really understand why.
Well, they went 9-1-2 at home down the stretch of the season, so where they're playing well, they're playing well at home and on the road. So I believe the atmosphere is that the crowd was ready Tuesday and Thursday, and this is Tuesday, Thursday, right, in the midst of a four-game homestand where it's tough to have everybody, they're season ticket holders. You're asking them to go four times in the span of a week and a half. There's a lot going on. There's other sports going on too. And yet, I still think when the Predators were playing well, the crowd's right there. They're a factor. It's just the team's got to put it together.
615-737-1025. It's time for Ask D-Mace. Get your questions in right now on our phone and text lines. 615-737-1025. I know some of y'all will have some dad jokes. Get those prepped on our phone and text lines. 615-737-1025. We'll start Ask D-Mace next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
G-Maze.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now, on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick. Get your questions in on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. I'm going to do the honors of starting this because I have a very important question for Derek that I did ask him before the show. The reason why I asked him is strange, so I'm just going to
skip that part.
Okay, let's skip that part. I was like, Derek, you seem like a guy that wore Zubaz pants back in the day.
And I said, hell no, I ain't wear no Zubaz pants.
And then you said, you know who probably did? Big Joe Dubin.
Yeah,
and you
asked him, and he said, Joe.
Yeah, I love those pants.
Man, I wasn't wearing no, because Willie, you remember they had all the NFL teams, all the basketball, they had them all. Yeah. Like, if you wanted to wear Zuba pants, you can wear them every day of the week. I didn't like those pants whatsoever. They had the funny patterns and all. And no.
The tiger stripes, right?
Yeah. Right.
No, and everybody had, it seemed like everybody had the same pants.
Let me see if I can pinpoint the era we're talking about. We're talking like early 90s, early 90s.
Late 80s, early 90s, yes, when they first came
out. And there was kind of a color wave. Like, remember the starter jackets?
Yes, I love starter
jackets.
I had
a starter jacket.
I still have my Lions starter jacket.
I still have my Blue Jays starter jacket from way back when I was playing in the minors for them, and people are like, ooh,
I'm going to bring it out tomorrow.
I love that.
No, I'm going to bring it out.
But it kind of, it was loud, right? Yeah. Loud and colorful. But so you didn't get caught up in that? I remember that era like it was yesterday. It was a fun era. I wonder if it will cycle back.
Hold on.
To that.
You know
like
why?
Big logos.
You know why?
Big
I never,
logos, tiger stripes, loud colors.
You know why I was never a fan of Zuba pants? Because I saw my uncles wear them. Saw my dad. Yeah, I was like, The only people I saw in Zuba pants were older people. I'm like, no, I'm not wearing those pants. You know, because and listen, my uncles wasn't like they were 60 or 70. They were, you know, 40s, but back, you know, you consider, you know, 40 back then, it's like, you old. I looked at my parents and they were like 35. I thought they were old. Come to find out, no, they were not old. I was just too damn young. So there you go.
Willie is not a Zubaz guy.
No,
Willie is a fan of joggers, I've noticed. Wears joggers every day to the studio. Very very fashionable.
They're comfy.
Willie
exactly.
Donick. All right, so let's get to our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Our friend Eric is on the line, I'm sure with a dad joke, then a question for Derek. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I do, but guys, I wanted to give you a fantastic update on things that have gone on in my life. So as many people know, and I've said this before, I've had a rough time the last few years because I got furloughed from my job because of the pandemic. I had to have hip replacement surgery on both my hips. I did one at a time, not both at the same time. I've been trying desperately to somewhat get back on the feet. It has been rough the last few years. Well, this past Tuesday, I got a letter. It was from the Social Security disability deal. They told me that not only did I get approved for disability, they gave me a lump sum payment from about, I guess it was July of last year to about September this year, and going forward, I'm going to get monthly payments in my bank account. So it's been rough, but the thing also with trying to get disability is that can be a long process because everybody tells me, well, you're not going to get it the first time you apply for it. You're going to get turned down. I got it the first time I applied for it. Not only that, the whole process took a grand total of 81 days because I had to like get my medical records. It actually took me longer to get my medical records to apply for it than it did to actually receive it. And I had to pay $53 for medical records, but it was well worth it, considering what I got. So just to share that with you.
Well, congratulations, Eric.
Happy for you, Eric.
Thank you.
Yep. I appreciate it. Now I've got my dad joke. So I hope you guys like this. I'll let you know up front, this is probably going to be a groaner. So I'm just telling you. So,
but that's a good dad joke.
Exactly.
Yeah. So have you heard now that it's illegal to laugh out loud in Hawaii? Have you heard that, guys?
I have not.
Well, unfortunately, you only allowed a low ha.
I like
that's
that
a solid
one.
Dad joke right there.
Yes, I like that one.
Yeah, I thought you'd get it.
Adam doesn't want to laugh, but he knows it's funny.
It's a good one.
Exactly.
So thank you. So guys, here's my thing, and we've of course gone over the whole Will Levis stuff and everything, and here's my question on that. Guys, it's just so frustrating to see that he showed flashes of greatness last year, but he struggled this year, and just wanted to get you guys thought if you thought this had something to do with it or not anything. The fact, of course, we've got a different coach staff this year than we had last year because, of course, last year we had Vrabel, and now we've got this coaching staff. Do you think it's just the fact that, you know, he's just struggled with the plays of the coaching staff, the fact that the coaching staff may not be coaching him right, or do you think that Will Evans himself is just not maybe prepared properly for games or is just struggling with that, just reading the play or whatever because of the new coaching staff? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, if it's just, you know, him struggling with the play calling of the new coaching staff or the coaches themselves, maybe not coach them upright or whatever, whether it's one or the other doing the proper things they need to prepare to win ball games. Just want to get your thoughts on that. Guys, y'all take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Eric. And before Derek answers that question, we have some news out of the Titans. The following players are out Sunday. Keandre Coburn, no surprise. Mm-hmm. Tajay Spears, no surprise. And Treylon Burks, out for the Titans, suffered an injury in practice and will be out for an uncertain amount of time. So Treylon Burks, injured again, will not play Sunday against the Buffalo Bills.
But anyway.
We'll get back to that. Yeah, I just wanted to share that. Derek's got to get his thoughts together, but please answer Eric's question.
I don't think it has much to do with the changing of the guard and the offensive coordinator. Will Levis is used to this. He's been through several coordinators even before he got into college, so he understands what it entails or what he has to do to get himself prepared and ready when a new offensive coordinator, a new coach comes into town. And, you know, from what I've understood, he's picked up on offenses and been able to, you know, move forward. So I don't think it has much to do with the coaching staff, because the mistakes he's making are just mistakes that if you didn't know the offense or if you did, you wouldn't make those mistakes. And I'm not going to sit here and chronicle all the mistakes, but the mistakes he's making are not because it's a new head coach or it's a new offensive scheme. It's the quarterback. And, you know, again, I would love for Will Levis to turn this around. I would love to get on in 5 or 6 weeks from now and say, man, boy, we were on Will Levis bad, but boy, oh boy, he's turned it around and look at him now. I would love to come on air and to be able to say that, because to me, if it's not right, I'm going to call it. But if it is right, I'm going to call it as well. It's all Will Levis. That's who it is. And maybe, just maybe, he's not the quarterback that they thought he was. So I don't think it's as much of the coaching staff or anything else, because I think he's prepared well. I think he does what he needs to do as far as film watching. When all of that is happening and you're still having problems, you got to look to the guy that's at the helm, and it's the quarterback. Well, nobody's going to question that Will Levis works hard. He works hard. Nobody's going to question whether he wants to win. He wants to win. He wants to be the best quarterback in the league or the best quarterback he can be. But maybe this is the best quarterback he can be, what he is now.
So more on Treylon Burks. It is a knee injury, and it could mean him heading to IR. So Treylon Burks suffered a knee injury at practice and may be heading to injured reserve. I'm really glad I hammered the under on the Donick dynamic plays for Treylon Burks in the preseason.
It's looking like the Burks dynamic plays might end up at a big zero.
0.0.
I was only asking for 12. Just give me 12.
This has been
less than one per game.
This has
might
been
not get one.
Utter disappointment and disaster. That's what it has been. And listen, And am I making an excuse for him? I don't know. But he was brought in a situation that wasn't ideal. And he did nothing to change the fortunes for himself. He's hurt, dropped balls, can't get in the Florida offense, whether it's their problem, his problem. It just hasn't, from the day he stepped foot in here, it just hasn't gone right. The minute he takes a step forward, he takes two steps back. And it's continuing to look uglier and uglier when you pan up north to northeast and you see A.J. Brown. And he's missed his games, too. And he's going to be a guy that consistently, you know, missed games here and there because of
the
physicality
produces.
That he plays with. But he produces. And he produces at a high clip. Again, I've said this about this organization. And maybe it's change. You don't value elite receivers. You don't. You don't value guys that are at the top of their game. You don't value those guys. You can go through the history of this organization. You do not value those guys. Because the minute a guy shows you what he is and what he can continue to do, you get rid of his ass. Why? Because you can get a draft pick here. You don't want to pay him the money. Well, if you don't change, you're going to continue to run into what you have ran into for the last 20-some years. Is maybe we get a guy, maybe we don't. But you know what? Frankly, it don't matter. Because we're not going to allow him to have any significant time here. More than 4 years, more than 3 years. We're not going to allow him. Because we're going to get rid of him. Why? Because he's going to want too much money.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your questions for Derek on our phone and text lines driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com tomorrow from 1 to 6 p.m. New Heights Brewing at 928 Representative John Lewis Way South is having an afternoon of free live music and good vibes before the Post Malone concert at Nissan Stadium, benefiting the relief efforts in East Tennessee presented by Cromwell Media. It's actually a pre-Malone party for the post-Malone concert. $1 from every draft pint will be donated to East Tennessee Foundation. There's a dad joke. To help those in need from the devastation of Hurricane Helene. More details can be found at thegamenational.com/events. D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's still time for Ask D-Maze, so if you have questions, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Randy, on our text line, first has a dad joke. What do you call dental x-rays? Dental x-rays, what do you call them?
Mm-hmm.
Toothpicks.
I think we heard that one. That one was 2 weeks ago or something like that.
Probably.
Yeah, I think we heard that one.
Get some new material, Randy.
Yeah. Come on, Randy.
Come on, Randy.
Randy Watson.
Randy's question is, if the NFL was going to restructure the divisions, who would you put in the new AFC South, and you cannot include, other than the Titans, any of the other three teams in it now? And it doesn't matter if those other teams are currently in the AFC or the NFC. So if you're putting together a new AFC South with the Titans and three other teams, which teams are you putting in there?
Oh, I go back to Willie. No, I go back to the old AFC North, what it used to be. I would Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Baltimore. That's what I would put.
Back when they had three divisions and not four.
Exactly.
In the conference, it was called the Central, right? The AFC Central?
I think it was. It wasn't the AFC North?
I think it was called the Central.
It was called the Central at the time. There was East, West, Central. But you had there was always somebody.
It was us, Indianapolis, Jacksonville.
Dallas was always in the NFC East. Yeah. Dallas is not exactly in the East.
No, not at all. I would like to, if you wanted to reorganize the AFC, it would be Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and the Titans. That's who I would
put. I'm trying to remember this. The Falcons, they were obviously not in the NFC East. Were they in the West? I know that for a long time, the Braves were in the NL West, which made no sense at all.
They were in the same division with the Cardinals? Arizona?
Well, the Cardinals were stayed for a long time in the NFC East, even as they moved from St. Louis out to Arizona.
Arizona,
so that was another thing that didn't make any sense.
I found an article. Oh my! I have to show you guys this. Look at this webpage from the old ESPN, the magazine. Now this,
oh Lord,
I need to show it to the people
ESPN
on the stream.
Mag.
This is some Netscape type stuff. If you can see it on the stream, this is how old this website is, and it says Division Quest AFC Central. With realignment looming, ESPN, the magazine, bids farewell to the AFC Central. Tennessee Titans, Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, Jacksonville Jaguars, Cincinnati Bengals, and Cleveland Browns.
Yep, see? So give me Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. Y'all can have Cleveland. We can leave them out. But give me Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore.
Okay, that works. We have another texter who wants to know who would play you in a Derek Mason biopic.
Oh, man, my son.
I'm trying to think of someone right now.
My son. I don't know. Someone right now? I don't know. That'd be a good one.
Chris Tucker.
Hell no. He too funny for me.
You're pretty funny. Don't tell yourself short.
But I guess somebody, I don't know. I grew up with Morris Chestnut. So Morris Chestnut or I don't know. I would first go to Morris Chestnut.
So Atlanta used to be in the conference with the Saints and the Rams.
Yeah, there we go.
So Atlanta and the Rams.
Yes.
Now, was Tampa in that division?
In the same division.
Yes.
Was Tampa in that division also?
They might have been.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. No, Tampa was always with the Lions and the Packers.
You're right. In Chicago.
In Chicago, which
that
made
was
no
the Central.
Sense. Yeah. That's another one that geographically...
What was Seattle?
They were in the West, I think.
Uh-huh.
They were in the West for a long time.
We have a vote, by the way.
Remember, they were in the AFC for years and years and years.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
To the NFC.
You're right.
We have a vote for Omar Epps to play you.
Oh, yes.
I can see that. Yeah.
We're going to keep thinking on this.
Yeah, we need to think
on that. We need to budget this film. Yeah. We'll start a GoFundMe for the Derek Mason.
I would say Morris Chestnut, but y'all can have your own say. You know, if I was being real lofty here, Denzel, who would want Denzel to play them?
See, that we need the budget. If we have a budget, we can go to Denzel.
Exactly. I need a GoFundMe so we can get Denzel to play
me. We need Denzel Washington's non-union equivalent. Right. That's what we need to find.
The up-and-comer.
Denzel on a budget.
Exactly.
Right. Maybe Denzel's son.
But maybe Denzel was a big fan of the Titans back in the day and had the soft spot for D-mates. Okay, I could play that guy.
I can do that.
All right. I can't do that. It sounded more like Quagmire than Denzel Washington.
My man.
Wes is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com with a question for Derek. Wes, go ahead.
All right, guys. I had to be festive, you know, with the autumn and Halloween coming around the corner. So why did the pumpkin lose the boxing match?
Why does the pumpkin lose the boxing match?
He didn't have any teeth? I don't know.
He let his gourd down.
You get it? Gourd pumpkin.
Yeah. I was like, dude, that's such a terrible dad.
But that's what it's supposed to be, Wes.
He let his gourd down?
Yeah.
His gourd down.
Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be, Wes.
That's like a New York accent. Gourd. He left his gourd down.
Not to be confused with the thousands upon thousands of people in Canada named Gord.
Oh, goodness.
But
man, my question, I wanted to do something fun, something that maybe each of y'all would have a different answer on. So I'm just curious. You take this same exact Titans team, you run it back next year with the only thing that you change is the quarterback. Who has the better season as the quarterback? Shedeur Sanders, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, or Hendon Hooker? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, man.
Wait, those are the only choices?
Listen, I mean, you got one guy that you don't know what he's going to be, but he's been an outstanding college quarterback in Shedeur Sanders. The other three are current NFL players, I believe. All three of them are, I think.
He said Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield.
What was the last one?
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, Hendon Hooker. I haven't seen any of Hendon Hooker. I am taking Baker Mayfield. I've always been a Baker Mayfield fan, even when he was in Oklahoma. I just like his moxie. He's a dog. That's what Baker is. He's a dog. And Baker's going to do everything he can to win you a football game. And it may not look pretty, but damn it, he's going to go out there. If it calls for him to block down the field, Baker Mayfield does that also. Watch film. You see Baker Mayfield running down the field trying to get blocks for his players. That's a dog. That's a leader for you. That's a guy that's like, man, I'm winning at all costs. I saw it at Oklahoma, and I fell in love with it, and it hadn't stopped. So,
didn't they just burn his jersey during the the Oklahoma? There was something that involved his jersey.
No, so Texas players, they got a flag and they put his jersey down and they planted it.
Remember, he did that years ago.
Yeah, he did that in 2018.
Yeah, when he was
in
college.
He's from Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm. So that shows you that boy got some big ones.
He's
boy.
A dog.
He's a dog. He don't care, and he's backed it up with his play. So you give me Baker Mayfield with this team, they are a much better team. A much better team.
I don't think he's going to be out there, though.
No, he won't be. He just signed a new contract
with the Bucks. Like him.
Yeah.
And it is an interesting play on the, you got to lock up your quarterback when you got him. You know, Tua and Trevor Lawrence and all these guys that got the big one. It's Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are giving hope to those that are saying, well, sometimes late bloomer, or sometimes you're better off paying $20 million less and you're getting equal or better value.
He was just in a dumpster fire in Cleveland.
So
that's all.
This is
that
something. If the Titans go in a different direction next year, I think that's an interesting question. Is there the next Mayfield or Darnold? Mm-hmm.
Well, Darnold, I believe, is on a 1-year deal.
So
with
he
the
will possibly be available.
He's going to earn a better contract, right? If he's going, because the Vikings aren't going to let him go.
Well, if J.J. McCarthy is ready.
Yeah, they can't
maybe
hold
they
him.
Will. 5-0 is five. I don't know what the record will be at the end of the year, but they may have to reconsider some things.
We shall see. One more quick one from Maddie on the subject of quarterbacks. Mm. Derek, if you could trade Will Levis straight up for any non-starting quarterback in the league currently, who would it be?
Joe Flacco.
That didn't even take a second
take
thought.
But
Joe
second.
Elite, baby.
Joe Flacco, because he's really the – I know Joe. I know what type of player he has been. I know that if you just watch that Indianapolis game, that, like, listen, he still has something left. Can he win you the game every week? Possibly, probably not, but he gives you an opportunity.
We saw it last week.
Yeah, he gives, because he's been in this league long enough. He understands it. He knows what it takes to win. This is a former Super Bowl MVP. So he knows what it takes to win ball games. I would take Joe Flacco in a heartbeat. This team would be a much better team. And this is all honesty here. This team would be a much better team with Joe Flacco at the helm. That's why they did not bring him here, because they didn't want any true competition at that position.
615-737-1025. Excellent questions from all of you. And Ask D-Mace. We will get back into the Titans game against the Bills coming up next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 1025, 1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.